The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello and surprise! You've been such fantastic fans of Fanatics. Claire and I are giving you a bonus episode this week, huh? We've been having so much fun interviewing the Dexter New Blood creators and visionaries that during our episode recaps, we decided we'd ask them about what they're fanatical about and give you a good old-fashioned minisode. Everyone's got their thing. Get your notepad out and maybe a pencil and, dare I say, a crayon, because we're going to talk with someone very special to my heart here, because he is from Dexter New Blood, one of the directors, one of the executive producers, one of the creators of this excellent 10-episode series that I got to be a part of. Yes, I'm one of your hosts, David Magadoff. With me, as always, is my co-host, Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David.
And we have on Marcos Siega.
Yay.
Yes, Marcos is here.
Hi.
Not only did we have a wonderful chat with him about episode 6 of Dexter New Blood, check it in our podcast episodes, the one with Johnny Sequoia talking about baking pies, but we're going to talk with him about his love of doodling. You love to doodle, don't you, Marcos?
I love to doodle. Yeah, it's something I've always done. And about, I'm going to say 10 years ago, I read somebody's biography who they're like, I journal every day. And I was like, I should journal. And I started trying to journal and I'm like, oh, I'm a shitty writer. But you know what I can do? I can doodle. And I started doodling. Like, my doodles were like a thing from that day. So I doodle once a day into a notebook. I have a doodle that is like it's a little visual of what happened to me on that day or something that happened to somebody else on that day. It's a daily doodle. And that's how my memoirs will be written.
I love it. How would you define doodling? Like, what is the definition of a doodle versus a drawing or a sketch?
Claire, with the big questions.
I'm sorry. The hard-hitting questions. I can go somewhere else.
No.
Pencil or pen? How's that?
Doodling. I'm a pencil guy. My doodles are pretty specific because I do them without lifting the pen off the paper.
Oh.
I break that rule sometimes, but that's how I started. I just kind of started doing these little characters and the challenge was always to do it that way. And I go over lines and go backwards, but I never lift it off. So you kind of commit to what you're doing. And I just like that little exercise. So my doodles are commitments.
I like that.
I imagine if you were doing a drawing or, a sketch, it's a little bit more mechanical and you go back and fix things and tweak. I don't do that. Whatever it is, it is.
I think I got it. The definition of a doodle is not focused on the end result. And the definition of a sketch or a drawing maybe is. I don't know. I got to think about that.
Yeah. It's funny. I go in knowing what I want it to be. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know it. What I want the end result to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a droodle. It's a drawing doodle.
Yeah.
Do you do one every day, Marcos? More than
I do one every day. Sometimes I do two, but I I love them on paper too. I have an app and I now doodle electronically sometimes, but there's nothing like my little sketch notebooks, and it's hard to explain. I don't think I've ever talked to anyone about, I don't think I've ever told anyone that my doodles are like my journals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's new news to people, but
that's why this podcast exists. You know, we had Janina Gavankar on talking about her love of Moleskine notebooks. Do you have like a collection of a certain type of a notebook? When one notebook gets full, you get the exact same kind of notebook, or is it just
Moleskine notebooks right here? What they are. If people could see me, you would see I'm holding one.
It's true.
Yeah, it's exactly what I get. I get them in different sizes, but it's the same. I just order a bunch and go through them. I have a lot.
Unlined or the graph?
Unlined.
Yes.
I do have some graphed ones, but I'll change that up sometimes, but unlined.
Do you ever give away a doodle as a gift?
No, but I doodle with paint on giant canvas. Mm. So I don't like to say I paint, because I have friends who are artists who are incredible, and I hate to even, I wouldn't even attempt to put myself in the same category. So I sometimes, if I do a doodle that I'm fond of, I will turn it into a painting, and I give those away. I gave those as gifts on Dexter. I gave Scott Reynolds one of my paint doodles. You could see it on his Instagram. He posted it. It's a bunch of knives falling from the sky as a guy is running away from them. I made a white buck.
Yeah, you did one of the white buck.
The white buck painting, which I gave to our cinematographer, Hillary. I gave Clyde a typewriter painting. So I haven't given away my doodles, because it would mean having to rip into my little notebooks. But
yeah. Your journal.
We'll make sure on our socials, we'll throw those out so people can see in one happy place all of your wonderful doodles. I love how you do it through journaling and expressive, like, just, do you ever find yourself after drawing a doodle? I love getting into it now. Do you ever find yourself after drawing a doodle, you'll be like, oh, fuck, I didn't know that's what's going on inside here? Or does it surprise you ever?
You know, what surprises me is when I look back at them. Not so much like after when I'm doing it or when I finish, but when I look back at some of the older ones that I've done, and that's when I sometimes think, that's who the fuck was I thinking? You know, who is that guy? But you know, look, I've had incredible things happen in my life, and I have some really dark things happen in my life, and they both manifest themselves in doodles. So I had a friend who passed away, and I recently was just kind of flipping through some of my old doodles, and I came across some, and I was like, oh, when was this? And I was like, oh, that's when he died, you know. And and they're dark. But
what is your process when you sit down for your daily ritual? Describe like the ritual and how long sort of the doodling takes. And how do you know when it's complete?
Oh, when I put that, when I lift the pencil up or the pen up, it's complete. I don't sleep a lot. I'm a really early riser. So I sometimes do them very early in the morning, and it's usually about like the previous day. Sometimes if I have a lull in the day, which is rare, I find myself picking up the pencil and wanting to draw something, sketch something. I will try things out. Like I'll be in a restaurant eating. If I'm alone, and I'll be like, I'll grab a pen and sketch something on the napkin and be like, this might be what I doodle tonight. But that's like it's like a little previs of what my doodle might be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like, am I catching it right? It sounds like you probably feel relaxed and more focused and have a positive attitude towards the end of every doodle. Is that, do you feel like it helps you put yourself in a good mind space?
It does. But more than anything, I don't feel right when I miss a day. And that, I think that's like, you know, in Dexter, he says in episode 2, it's like routine, routine, routine. And there's something comforting in like, I think everyone should have a routine. And that's just my routine.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. I love
it. Well, Marcos, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your doodly doodles. I can't wait to...
The daily doodle. Yeah,
I can't wait to share them with folks. And I love that you give them away too. That's a really cool thing.
Awesome, so, guys. Well, thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to hearing it when it's out there.
This is our version of doodling. We don't miss a day. Well, that's we don't great. Miss a week.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are Fanadicts. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Enhance your listening experience with Wondery Plus. Enjoy ad-free listening, exclusive content, binges, and more. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.